Success stories and interviews with game changers and thought leaders who have overcome both in life and in business. Welcome to Vertical Momentum.
Welcome to another episode of Vertical Momentum. I am your host, Richard Kaufman, also known as The Comeback Coach. Guys, this is going to be a great episode. We're going to be talking all things business, photography, military. But first of all, I want to thank our sponsors. As you know, my sponsors are 100% veteran, 100% of the time. And our today's sponsor is At Ease Magazine. So if you guys love somebody in the military, you need to get them hooked up with this magazine. It's called At Ease Magazine. Definitely check it out. Guys, you know I love my veterans. And I think that female veterans don't get the respect that they deserve. But on this show, they do. And I love highlighting my female veterans. And this young lady that we're having on did some great things in uniform. And I think even better things out of uniform. Ms. Erica Hatfield, what's going on in Charleston, South Carolina today?
Well, we are going to go to the beach after this. So thanks for having me. But looking forward to getting outside in the sun today.
Nice. Yeah, my mom lives in Merle's Inlet. We're actually going to, we'll be down here in August because my son actually goes to Coastal Carolina. Can you hear me? If your phone locks, you get muted.
Sorry.
There you go. No, okay. It's weird. So how was your 4th of July weekend?
Good. I spent a lot of it actually working on some of those boring business things that you've got to get done every once in a while. So now I'm excited for a new week with some of those things out of the way.
You're going to crush it this week, by the way, just so you know that.
Definitely. So, thanks.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us, you know, where you came from and what kind of child were you growing up?
Well, I started out in Washington, Pennsylvania, which is a little town about a half hour south of Pittsburgh, or 2 hours in traffic, depending. But I was probably one of those kids that I was always busy doing something, running around outside, driving all the adults crazy. One of those types, very busy kid, always into art and things like that. But definitely not, never would have guessed I'd end up here, I don't think, you know.
How was the family dynamic growing up?
So I grew up, I had parents and I had a younger sister. She actually had an intellectual disability. So I learned about kids with special needs from a really young age. I was always around a lot of people with special needs and going to different things with my sister Lauren and her therapies. So I think as hard as that might have been on my family, it actually taught me a lot growing up about how to you know, work with people with different abilities and to be empathetic towards people.
You know, and I think that's one of the skills that people really should try to learn a little bit more is empathy. You know, somebody asked me one time if I could be a superhero, what would I be? And I told them I'd be Empathy Man because I empathy for so many people, and it's a lot better than having sympathy for people, you know?
Absolutely.
So were you a good student? Were you an athlete?
I was a good student. I played some sports, but I was more of the comedian on the team, not necessarily the best athlete. But I was a pretty good student. I was really into school. Did not like history. I failed history in 10th grade, retook it senior year, and then spent this past year learning what I messed out back then. But other than that, I was kind of more of a nerd. I was on the math team. You know, I went to competitions on the weekend in middle school, and I still brag about it to my kids now.
Now, did you have a lot of college scholarships?
No, I did. Well, I did get a scholarship. I actually forgot because you think of GI Bill being the primary college funds, but I actually did get a scholarship to one of my first colleges. But that's, college is a long story, Richard.
Well, good. Well, we got a lot of time. So did you go to college and then join the military?
No, I actually enlisted senior year and started going to reserve weekends. I started going to drill my senior year of high school. And then I didn't go to basic until August after I graduated. So I spent from November to August going to drill weekend, just getting ready to ship out and finishing up high school. So I went right out of high school.
I love everybody's recruiting story. Tell us your story walking into the recruiting station.
Well, I started talking to the recruiters at one high school, just like at a college fair and stuff like that. I had no idea how I was going to pay for college. And so they immediately caught my eye. I was like, okay, well, I can leave Washington, Pennsylvania and pay for college and do cool stuff. So I was intrigued. But I ended up switching schools my senior year. I went to a Catholic school in Wheeling, which was not very far from Pittsburgh. So I was at this new school, and I honestly don't even know how I met my recruiter. So this guy, Sergeant G, was my recruiter, and he was down the road from my school. And this guy worked so hard for me to get me to my ship date. Senior year, I was getting into some trouble. I had missed some school. And so, you know, he kept me on track. He came up to the school to make sure I was there. He'd buy me lunch. So, you know, he was really a great mentor my senior year. And we had some fun together, had some fun lunches. And I got to talk to some of the other people that had shipped out previously and that were enlisting after me. So, you know, he really did a great job of connecting me with the right people and keeping me on the right track when I wanted to just go.
So now, you said you did good in school. So did you crush it on the ASVAB? Your phone probably locked again. So
stop it.
It's okay.
I don't know if I crushed it, but I did pretty well. I don't even remember what I got, honestly.
So why did you choose your MOS that you did choose?
I wanted to be a medic, and that's luckily what I got. I think Sergeant G was a little bit skeptical. He's like, you have to get a certain score in the ASVAB if you want to be a medic. And I don't know what that score was, but I managed to get it and was able to get the MOS that I wanted.
Now, how was basic training? Because I know, like me, I came from Jersey. I was a street kid from Jersey. And being around all these people from around the world was a culture shock. How was your experience?
I mean, it was definitely a culture shock, but I mean, in definitely a really good way. I absolutely loved basic training. I got out of that small town in Washington, Pennsylvania, and met a bunch of people that I never would have met. And my best friend at basic training was actually from Pittsburgh. She was there when I was panicking for my very first flight. I'd never been on an airplane, so I was terrified to fly. Found out by the end of the day that I loved flying and there was no big deal, but I really had a great time, and I'm still in contact with so many of the people that I went to basic training with in Fort Jackson.
Oh, you were relaxed in Jackson?
Yep.
That's where I retired out of. So now, how many years did you do in the military?
I was only in 3 years.
Now, can I ask why you were only in for 3 years?
Well, a little while later, so I did basic and AIT and went back home and started doing my reserve weekends. And I wasn't happy with reserves anymore. So I went on active duty, and I wasn't there long. I'd just gotten married. And, you know, as soon as we get to post, the question everybody's asking, because we just got married, are you going to have kids? And we're like, yeah, we're going to have kids. We're planning to have kids in like 4 years. I got pregnant immediately. And, you know, it was this big decision of, you know, do I want to stay in or do I want to take the chapter? And I decided at the time that I would take the chapter because I wanted to be home while my kids were younger, and that I would reenlist when they got to be a little bit older. I would reenlist. And long story, we'll probably get to later. That didn't happen. It didn't happen that way. So
of course, you know, and my wife is my rock. She's my best friend, and you know, she's the best mother in the world. And a mother's work is never done. So I give you total props for that. So what was it like, you know, because a lot of people might have gotten all in a negative mindset when they got out after having the child, maybe deal with some postpartum depression or anything like that. Did you struggle with anything like that? You know, about getting out and then regretting it later?
I've definitely had moments. I think it's more the disappointment of my plan was I was going to go back in and finish what I started. So to me, it feels like something that I didn't get to finish at some points. But at the time, I was so excited to have the baby. And we actually moved to Texas after I got out. So I think some of my friends on post were a little more worried than me. Like, what are you going to do when you get out? What are you going to do? And I was like, I don't know. I'll find a job. We'll do something. We'll figure it out. And I actually stayed in until the last possible second. So I was 9 months pregnant when I got out and we moved and we're getting resituated. So everything happened really, really fast. That's the moral of the whole story.
You know, because I've talked to hundreds of veterans on the show now. And, you know, even though we're all, you know, we're in the military, we're all hoo-hoo and hardcore and all that crap. We get so used to getting paid on the 1st and the 15th. Getting TRICARE, getting 30 days paid vacation. And then, you know, like our friend Nick says, once you step off post, the military does not give a shit about you. And the phone stops ringing. And a lot of people have problems with their transitioning. What was your transitioning like?
Transitioning was, it was actually not that bad, really. Excuse me. It took a little longer, I think, than we expected. It was just that whole logistical thing of like, is our stuff gonna make it to Texas? Is our stuff gonna make it there? And can we get moved in and find a place before I have the baby? And we ended up in Dallas. And one way the military actually did take care of me a little bit is that when you're pregnant and you get out, I was still able to deliver the baby on a military post. So that kind of saved us with the losing our health insurance there. That would have been a big bill we'd still be paying off probably. However, my daughter was born on Fort Hood, which was the closest to where we were living in Dallas, which is a 3-hour drive. So when I went into labor, my husband drove so fast, you wouldn't even believe. I don't know how we made it there in one piece. He flew. It was way less than 3 hours. And then we had to hang out and walk around Fort Hood because everyone we knew that was stationed there was deployed at the time. And I wasn't far enough along to be admitted to the hospital yet. So he flew to the hospital at Fort Hood for absolutely no reason. And then we walked around for hours before our daughter was actually born. So they did take care of us there, but there have definitely been times later on when I wish we would have had the simplicity of, you know, TRICARE and the way the military takes care of you, because we've had more struggles dealing with getting health insurance and keeping health insurance outside the military.
So, you know, after having a child, you know, of course, it's like I said, it's the ultimate job. It never ends. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. So now, did you go back to school? What were you doing besides, you know, I hate saying besides being a parent, it's the most important thing, but, you know, did you go back to college or anything?
Not right away, but I'm always doing something else. So I actually, I needed to work at the time. I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to go back to school. And I had several college credits at this point. So I took some classes while I was on Fort Irwin. And some in high school. So I had a few, and I wasn't 100% sure where I wanted to go and how we were going to make it work with a baby in a new town and no family around. So I actually took a job as a nanny, and it was the perfect job at the time because I could take my daughter with me, and I babysat a couple kids. I worked for two pediatricians, so I could ask them anything that a new mom would want to ask, and sometimes they'd even fight about it. It was kind of funny when they disagreed. But we had a great time. It was one of those really, really fun jobs. And after a while, we decided it was time for me to go back to college. And we couldn't quite find a logistical way to make it work in Texas with the baby. So we decided to go back to our hometown. So that's where I actually went to college for my first, like, full time being in college. And I went to Washington Jefferson. I did get a scholarship. That's why I said I did get one. But it covered some of the tuition. So, and then I also started to use my GI Bill, but I didn't stay at that college for very long.
What did you major in?
I was in the pre-med program, and I was a biopsych major then.
So did you become a psychologist or a biologist?
No, not at all. Mm-mm. What I actually did was I did that program at that college for about a year and a half. And in that time, I managed to have two more kids, rapid fire. And after the third was born, I decided, okay, I still have a couple years of college, medical school, residency, and I have three kids under three. How am I going to do this?
I think your phone locked again.
Happening, sorry.
No, it keeps all right. Three kids under three. Wow. Wow. That, all I'm going to say is wow. God bless you.
My two youngest, actually, I had the same due date 2 years in a row, and they ended up being 363 days apart.
Wow. So did you go back to school again?
Not right away. I actually, when I left, I had just gotten a part-time job. I wasn't working at the time, so I got a part-time job to get some extra Christmas money. So I saw Penny's was hiring their portrait studio for a Christmas position. So I thought, well, that's perfect. I need to help out with Christmas gifts. I love photos. Maybe I'll get a discount on our Christmas pictures. That was my angle. And I really didn't think that I'd be taking any pictures because I didn't know anything about it. So I thought I'd be the person out front, like making appointments and giving people their pictures. And I found out quickly that that's not how it worked. You learn every part of the job, from scheduling to photographing and getting the pictures and ordering the pictures and everything. Everybody does everything, which was not what I expected. So, you know, everything kind of happened at the same time. I ended up leaving W&J and I got offered a manager position at a Target portrait studio because Target and Penny's are the same Life Touch company. So I took that position and spent a lot of time photographing 10-minute photo shoots for a few years. Excuse me. So I got a lot of photography experience with a lot of different people really fast. So I learned quick.
So at what time did you decide to say, all right, it's time for me to go into business for myself?
It took me a little while. You know, I think it was getting closer to my kids starting school and working 10 to 7. And as the company was making these changes that were impacting the way you do a photo shoot, you know, I'd have a mom with two small children come in and I'm like, okay, I have 10 minutes because that's what we had at the time, that there was a schedule that we needed to stick with. So, you know, it's not always enough time to photograph a kid. You know, some kids take 10 minutes just to warm up to you and feel comfortable around you. So it was when the policies got to where I'm like, okay, I cannot do this. I'm not serving my clients well. They deserve more time with me. And that's really what inspired me to even get out and start my own business, is that I wanted to go and do it my way and give the people what they were asking me for, that I had no control over the policy.
Now, you know, we've been in the tribe together for years now, and I noticed a trend in the tribe, or as you know, when a person gets out of the military, they either want to start t-shirt company, a hat company, liquor or coffee, and then 6 months later they're $10,000 in debt and don't know what the hell just happened. So talk to us about starting your business. Did you have an SOP and a business plan?
I definitely had a business plan, and I actually didn't have to take out any kind of loans or anything like that. I've just purchased everything that I've needed over the years. So it's actually been, it was really easy to sustain and to, you know, increase or decrease as my life required, because I think, you know, we always look for work-life balance, but, you know, for parents, there's really no such thing as work-life balance entirely. Sometimes the kids need to come first and sometimes work needs to come first. And so it's been great for balancing that. My husband was working in the coal mine most of the time that I own my photography business. So I didn't really have to worry about, you know, paying the family's bills, and I could just, you know, make money that was extra for the kids, extra things that we wanted to do and needed.
So he had a rough job then.
He probably wouldn't say that. He actually really loved that job. He has a lot of scary stories that I'm like, don't tell me that. Please don't ever tell me anymore. But he actually really loved the job itself and had a great time.
So now talk to us about, because we're going to talk about business, because, you know, this is going to go out and a lot of people that listening to this are veterans or entrepreneurs, or as Stephen and Lane called them, vetrepreneurs. I'm going to ask you some basic business questions, and I want to get into questions, especially about photography, because I'm learning a lot about, you know, different colors and all that good stuff. If you had to start all over again with little to no money, how would you do it in this day and age, especially with social media?
For one, I would have spent a little more time figuring out exactly what I wanted to do before I started, instead of marketing to everybody and photographing everybody and trying out everything. I think I never would have thought of this at the time, but I really wish I would have tried out a bunch of free photo shoots with a bunch of different types of sessions that I was interested in, and kind of picked one, because I went way too wide, and then I'm marketing online to everybody and trying to learn how to do all these different types of photography, when it would have been so much easier. And this is what I teach photographers that I mentor now, that it's so much easier if you start with one specialization and you have one client that you're marketing to, you have one type of client that you need to understand what they need and what they want, and then you can always expand and add on others later. But I did it backwards.
You know, and I was in the same way, and me and Steven actually had a conversation about that at DC. We met up, and we're talking about, you know, how if you're marketing to everybody, you're marketing to no one, because, you know, you have to kind of niche down. So What is your niche right now?
Right now, my photography business is closed, and because we've recently moved and the pandemic and things like that. But I'm going to be relaunching my actual photography business as a fine art business here. So I won't do very many photo shoots anymore because I'm teaching so much. But I am going to start selling some fine art prints of my landscape work, which is something I never did till this year.
Okay.
It's a whole new thing.
Well, sometimes, you know, it's and especially I think we found out during COVID, you have to be able to pivot. And I think that's one thing that the military teaches us, that, all right, you know, when shit goes sideways, we have to be able to think out of the box to survive. So I think that's one thing that really services us as military members and entrepreneurs at the same time. So second, what is the most important lesson you've learned while in business?
Most important lesson. What would the most important one be? There's been so many. And I would have said what you just said, honestly, that sometimes you have to know when to pivot and change gears. But I think, you know what, I think the most important thing I've learned is, you know, you have a few people over the years. There's those few clients, or, you know, the ones that don't like what you do, or the one where you get a complaint, or you have that tough client. And I feel like when those things have happened, I've gotten so fixated and worked up on what I did wrong in that situation. Why is this person unhappy? And some of them, it was just people being nasty. You know, I had one client that came in and just went off about my studio being small, and I had a home studio, and I'm like, well, it is small, but, you know, it's working well enough for me. And, you know, I just think, you know, I spent a little bit too much time worrying about those few people that were upset with me or maybe didn't like what I do, when I should have put that much effort and thinking into the people that loved what I do. So I think we need to be careful, you know, to expect to make everybody happy is just impossible in business. So I think maybe if we focused on those people that loved what we do as much as we focus on those few that complain or you know, kind of cut down what we do, instead of focusing on them, focus on the ones that absolutely love us.
I love that. So what top three pieces of advice would you give to someone starting out in business today? If they were going to start out in business, Even if it's photography, that's what we're going to, you know, I'm going to put mostly out to photographers. What was three things that you would teach those, your students today, about business in 2021?
Know the process. detailed step by step and do anything you can to make it easier for yourself so you're not doing repetitive stuff, so that you can spend your time doing the most important work in your business. That's something I've had a hard time doing, is letting go of some of the control. And I found out recently that other people can help and do things just as well as I can. And now I can get more done by accepting help and actually delegating some things. And three, I would say, try to find what you could do differently next time. I mean, I think it's kind of on that same point, you know, instead of ruminating, you know, take that situation or that session that didn't go well, or that interaction with a client that didn't go well, and say, is there something I could have done differently? If yes, then the process changes. If no, then we move on.
You know, I was in the health and fitness industry for over 30 years, and I was in retail. And a lot of times a customer would come in pissed off because of something that another store did. And I would be able to turn it around to build a lifelong client. So did you ever have something, you know, that might have a customer that might have not have been happy, but then because you sat down and talked to them, you turned things around and created a lifelong contact?
I can't really think of anything like that.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
So now, like I said, since we've been in the tribe together, you know, how I'm sure now with all these new $1,000 cell phones and all this stuff, how has it affected the photography business? Because I know, like, my wife, we take pictures on our phone, and we have something, I guess it's called Groovebook or whatever, and we get our pictures delivered every month. So has the photography business really changed over the last couple of years because of the high quality cell phones and stuff like that?
Oh, it has definitely changed. But I am glad that you get pictures printed. That Groovebook is, you're actually getting printed photos in the mail every month, right?
Yeah, we got it. We seen it on Shark Tank one night, and we've been doing it for 5 years now. So we got like 1,000 books. So if we ever, whenever we pass away, all of our kids are going to have pictures from every aspect of their life.
Well, you're a unicorn, because that's one big thing that's changed, is most people don't have anything printed from their photos. Everything's on a hard drive where it can fail or get lost. So it's really cool that you're actually still printing, because a lot of people, now that everything is digital, they just want the digital files, which, you know, don't last forever. So I think a lot of things have changed in the industry too, because it used to be that you had to buy film, and it was a big expense to photograph someone and to take photos, and you were limited to how many exposures you had on that roll of film. So it's now I can take as many as I like. And just get another memory card. The cost has gone down, and it's so much more accessible to people. But then I also think that means that everybody can just become a photographer. I even did it. I became a photographer really before I fully understood everything about my camera. I knew a lot about posing and working with people from Life Touch, but our cameras were on automatic. So I didn't understand how to use my camera settings and work with outdoor lighting. I knew studio lighting, but every lighting situation is so different. So I think a lot of people seem to think that because we have digital and we have editing, that we can just take a picture and, you know, we can edit it later. But it's still really important to just get it right out of camera. You're going to have a much higher quality picture. So I think that's where the difference lies, is, you know, you can still get a beautiful cell phone picture, or camera picture, and it's more from knowing about lighting and posing and photography than the equipment. So that's what I teach a lot of my students, that it's about knowing how to position things. That's more important than the equipment that you're using, and that the quality is going to be the biggest difference. The print quality on my phone, if I'm posting it online, it doesn't really matter that much that I took the picture on my phone. But if I want to print it and blow it up and hang it on the wall, or my family wants to have it printed years down the road, camera is going to give me a much better image.
So now, you said you're a teacher, you know, you teach students. So you see a lot of more people getting into photography, and why would that be?
I do, but I think at this point, when digital came out, I think there was a lot more people trying to be a photographer, start a photography business. Now I just see it as more of a hobby for most people. I almost don't know anybody who doesn't at least take some pictures of their family or their dog or their food or whatever it is that they love. So I, the way I look at it with teaching is that kind of everybody, everybody needs to learn photography. So that's why I actually do, we do classes for ages 3 and up. I mean, I teach 3-year-olds with giant iPads that can barely hold them up without a grown-up. How to take pictures. So it's everybody.
So now, you know, I'm just learning about photography. And because, you know, like you said earlier, you know, sometimes you have to delegate. And, you know, I'm a great interviewer. I'm a great relationship builder. But I suck at anything graphic, you know, putting graphics together, photography. So I have my friend William, we're partnering up. So tell us, you know, why business owners should have a professional headshot done and not just a cell phone picture.
Oh my gosh, that's such great advice. Yes, please go see a professional and get a headshot. You know, you could see right out of the bat when you look at someone's profile, that's the first thing that you see is their photo. And I can absolutely tell if it's a cell phone picture. Even if absolutely tell, even if it is a nice picture with nice lighting and a nice expression, that it's not a professional headshot. And so I think it's really important. And I actually even took a class a while back on brand photography, and I'd highly recommend for everybody, if your budget allows, even go beyond that headshot and do a brand photo shoot, because what that does is it shows you in your business in a bunch of different aspects. So with a brand shoot, your photographer would do your headshot, of course, but then they'd also do some pictures of you working, candidly working, like you're not looking at them, those kind of things, behind the scenes pictures. They can photograph some brand images if you have a product or, you know, whatever aspects of your business you want to show to your client. They can give you this whole big bank of images that you then have to use for your marketing or anywhere you need it on your website. Because we have those profile pictures that are usually a circle or a square and you need a nice headshot. But then we also have these covers and all these extra things that you might need, more of a horizontal picture with some space for some text and marketing, things like that. And a brand photographer is going to know and get that variety so that you have a bunch of different images that you can use in different crops for different social media platforms, and also add overlays and text and whatever you need onto them.
Okay, so now last two questions that I have. Now, how do we find you? How do we get in touch with you? If somebody out there that is interested in photography, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, our website is nextlevelphotoedu.com. That's what I was doing all weekend. I was updating that website.
Now, I know you're on Facebook. LinkedIn.
I am. Yep.
Okay. So now my final question, we still live in a crazy world. You know, we still live in COVID. I'm in New Jersey, so a lot of businesses got shut down. So we got a lot of parents that are driving DoorDash, had grandparents homeschooling kids. So if I ask the average American to do something in 7 days, they're never going to get to it. But if I ask somebody to take an actionable step in the next 24 hours, they're more likely. So if somebody is struggling with their business, what is something they can do in the next 24 hours to start to get some help?
I'd say look back through everything they've ever done, every work, you know, I'm trying to think different businesses. So whether you have a product or service, you know, a really good interaction with a client or a time when you had really good sales, go back to that time when things were going well and see what was different then. What was I doing then that I'm not doing now?
I love it. I'm so grateful that we finally got a chance to talk and actually I appreciate all your support over all the years. I want to thank our sponsors, At Ease Magazine. If you love veterans, if you love a veteran, make sure you get them a subscription to At Ease Magazine. Eric, and it's going to go out probably at the end of next season, so it's going to go out everywhere. And if there's any way that we can support you in whatever you're doing, especially when you start opening up your photography business, just let me know and we'll push it out for you.
Hey, thank you so much. Teaching has kept me so busy. I haven't even gotten started on relaunching, so I'm looking forward to it.
And anything you want to get pushed out, even from now on, just tag me in it, and I'll push it out for you.
All right, thank you.
Well, have an amazing week and crush it this week.
You too.
All right, guys. Thank you. And make sure you guys hit the like and the subscribe button. All right, guys. Have an amazing week.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Hey, guys. If you're enjoying our show, if you love what we're doing, if you would like to support us, we have a whole bunch of great stuff coming out. We have a brand new t-shirt line that's coming out. Hats, coffee mugs, any kind of swag that lets your friends know that you support Vertical Momentum and you're always looking to get better. Also, we have our new coffee brand coming out. It's called Vertical Momentum Coffee. It's ass-kicking coffee. And it will get you moving in the morning. So guys, if you're interested, go to www.richardkaufman.net. Check us out, leave us a note, tell us what you'd like, and we'll actually send it to you. The new website is being built. So if you guys want to, our book is out there on Amazon. It's called A Hero's Journey from Darkness to Light. Definitely check it out. It talks about my story, but it also talks about how to survive depression, how to survive addiction. All right, guys, I love you. Thank you so much for always supporting our mission, which is to save lives.
Thank you for joining us today. Please hit subscribe and share. Please feel free to leave us a comment.